Grace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. From our gospel reading, the words of our Lord Jesus, who said, "The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." This is our text. To be sent with authority is to be sent for certain. I'll say it again. To be sent with authority is to be sent for certain. Jesus is sent from the Father to the world. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," Jesus says. And in turn, he sends others to go in his stead and by his command. And Jesus sends them with authority, with his authority. To hear the one whom Jesus sends with his authority is to hear Jesus himself. To reject the one whom Jesus sends is to reject Jesus, and to reject Jesus is to reject the one, to reject the Father who sent him. It's all about the sending here. The Father sends Jesus. Jesus doesn't go on his own initiative. The Father sends him, and then he goes. Likewise, Jesus sends some of his disciples, his students, to be his apostles, which simply means to be his sent ones. This sending of the 72 that we heard in the gospel reading lays a foundation for the office of the holy ministry. His words are their words. "The one who hears you hears me," Jesus says. And you're familiar with this idea. You hear it every Sunday as a called and ordained servant of the word in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ. Not my words, not initiated by me. You have Jesus' word on it, and his word is sure. If I were simply speaking by my own authority, you could never be certain of the forgiveness of your sins. But speaking by the authority of my Lord, you know that your sins truly are forgiven. So Jesus sends 72. Not 74, not 80, not 100, but 72. The numbers are significant. 12 apostles, of course, is like the 12 tribes of Israel. So what about 72? 72 is the number of the nations in Genesis after the flood. All the nations. Jesus is going to Jerusalem to die for the world, for all nations, for all people. The 72 signify the fullness of the church, scattered throughout the world, embracing all nations. And when Jesus sends the 72, it's like a little snapshot of the church, which is sent around the world to make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching, preaching repentance and forgiveness in the name of Jesus. And you may notice that when Jesus sends the 72, there's urgency about it. The fields, he says, are ripe for the harvest. So pray for workers to go into the harvest field, because there's no time to waste. This is my experience when it comes to harvesting things. When the cherries are ready, it's all hands on deck, 24/7 in the orchards. And to delay is to risk the crop. There's weather, there are diseases that will come and take the crop if you wait. So it requires long hours of focused and intense work. And Jesus is focused and intense in that way. Just before this passage in Luke, in chapter 9, verse 51, it says that Jesus set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem. He is focused and he is intense in his work of saving the world. When Jesus sends out the 72, there's no time to worry about packing. They need to simply go. No money bag, no knapsack, no extra pairs of shoes. Just go. He also warns them about the danger they'll face. They're going as lambs among wolves. They represent the Lamb of God. who takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb who is going to his sacrificial death on the cross, and you better believe that the wolves will be watching. That's one reason why Jesus sends them out two by two. The wolves look for the lone lamb. They look for the isolated lamb, the one who's all by himself. That's the danger of individualized Christianity, the danger of believing on your own without the communion of saints, without brothers and sisters in Christ. When you're like that, you're like a lone lamb among the wolves. Just watch a nature show and you'll see what happens to those who are isolated. It's not pretty. Don't be a solitary Christian. Even when Jesus sends out his 72, he keeps them in a fellowship. He keeps them in communion with one another. He sends them out not alone, but together. And as the 72 are sent out, they come to proclaim peace. They are ambassadors of the Prince of Peace, the one who makes peace by his own death on the cross. And when they come, this is what they say: "Peace be to this house. Peace be with you. The peace of the Lord be with you always." It's so much more than a fond wish, so much more than a happy Hallmark greeting. This is a peace that comes from the cross of the crucified one. This is a peace that the world cannot give. This is a peace that surpasses our understanding. This is a peace that is not mere words on a card, but a peace that is secured by the blood of your Lord Jesus Christ. And the Hebrew word for this peace is shalom. We're used to that word from Living Nativity, aren't we? Shalom. Not just an end to the war, but a restoration of wholeness. With peace comes healing of body and mind. Heal the sick, Jesus tells them. They are his ambassadors. They have his authority over disease and over demons. They bear good news. The kingdom of God has come near. And if you've not seen all of these things yet, you will. The day is surely drawing near when our Lord will return and we will see this full peace and wholeness and healing and health and well-being and the kingdom of God in all its glory. The kingdom of God has come near. Take note of that. We don't build the kingdom of God. We proclaim the kingdom, but we don't build it. And there's a really big difference between the two. Sometimes you may get the impression by what you hear in the Christian church that the kingdom of God is our project, that it's something we build or something we do, that we make the kingdom of God happen. Not so. The kingdom of God is built not on our efforts, but on God's effort. Not on our works, but on Christ's work. Not with our blood, sweat, and tears, but with Jesus' blood, sweat, and tears. He does the work. He builds the kingdom. We simply announce that it is finished, just as Jesus said. Now, if someone knocks on your door and tells you that you just won $1 million, do you let him in? Do you give him a cup of coffee? Do his words mean anything to you? Will they affect your life in any way? If you're convinced that he has the authority to speak these words, if you're convinced that what he says is true, that these words are true, then you would be a fool to slam the door in his face, wouldn't you? "I forgive you all your sins. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you." Words from Jesus to you. Can you trust them? "He who hears you hears me." Our Lutheran confessions quote this verse all over the place when they're talking about called ministers of Christ. And they say that when called ministers of Christ deal with us according to Christ's mandate, his command, and his institution, these words are valid and certain, just as if they were spoken in heaven. It's as though Christ himself were dealing personally with you. Our confessions call the voice of absolution a living voice of the gospel and a voice come down from heaven to us. Can you trust these words? They are not my words, but Christ's. And even though the voice that you hear is the voice of a sinner, even when the owner of the voice is less than honorable, like Judas Iscariot, whom Jesus also sent, nevertheless, the words are Jesus' words, and the peace is Jesus' peace. It depends not on the person or the character of the person standing in front of you, but it depends on the promise and guarantee of Jesus. He who hears you hears me. Now, the peace of Jesus is something that we can reject. You can slam the door on this messenger if you wish, but be forewarned. Even the dust on the soles of their feet will testify against you, which is a Middle Eastern way of expressing contempt. To raise the heel or to shake the dust off your feet. And Jesus underscores this with his woes. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! And you, you, Capernaum! Where are these places? These are cities in Israel. Capernaum was Jesus' headquarters for his ministry. These cities had lots of Jesus. He visited them many times. And yet Tyre and Sidon and Sodom compare favorably to these cities. Those words should scare the daylights out of us. These cities, the cities that had the most Jesus, received the greatest condemnation for their rejection of him. To whom much is given, much also is expected. To refuse the gifts is to reject the giver. To refuse salvation is to reject the Savior. Even the city of Sodom, that poster city for sin and evil that was consumed by fire and brimstone in the Old Testament, even Sodom, Jesus holds up more favorably than a city that rejects him. What makes the unforgivable sin unforgivable is that it refuses forgiveness. It refuses to receive the forgiveness that Christ brings and gives. The kingdom of God has drawn near, but you want nothing to do with it. The forgiveness of sins is there for you, but you see nothing in yourself that needs forgiveness. To reject the church's ministry is to reject Jesus, the Lord of the church. To reject baptism and communion and the absolution is to reject the one who speaks these words. And that means that you are rejecting not only Christ, but the Father as well, for the Father sent him. You shall be brought down to Hades, is Jesus' word of warning to our refusal. He who hears you hears me. You'll meet people who say things like this: I can talk to God anywhere. I don't need church. I don't need a pastor. I can talk to God at the beach. I can talk to God in the mountains. I can talk to God anywhere at all. And that's true. You can talk to God anywhere at all in your prayers. When you are at the beach or on the mountains or anywhere at all, he will hear your prayers. But that's you talking to God. What we're dealing with today, what Jesus is speaking about today, is God talking to you. And how does God talk to you? Does he talk to you in your feelings? In your dreams? In your intuition? In the culture and society? No, Jesus says, but I speak through the ones I send to you. As Nathan was sent to David, as the prophets were sent to Israel, as Peter was sent to Cornelius, and Philip to the Ethiopian in his chariot. He who hears the ones I send hears me, the one who sends them. Now, Jesus sent those 72 out to proclaim this message, this word of peace and forgiveness, to proclaim the kingdom that is coming, that comes near in Christ. And this is what happened when they returned. The 72 returned full of joy. They were a smashing success. The word that Jesus sent them with was received by some, and they rejoiced over every sinner who repented. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They might have had this sense of fun. What fun it is, stomping on snakes and scorpions, kicking out demons, such impressive power. The devil's reign is ending. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him. And even Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. But the power was not in them. The power was and is in Jesus and in his name. Wherever the name of Jesus is, there the devil and all his demons tremble at the sound. His death on the cross defeats death. His sacrifice fulfills the law. He crushes the serpent's head. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Sin, death, and the devil are all defeated in Christ. The law that condemns is quieted and fulfilled. Nothing shall hurt you or harm you. You are secure in Christ. But the cause for rejoicing is not that the demons submit, but that your names are written in heaven. As surely as the water of baptism flowed over you, as surely as the forgiving words went into your ears, as surely as the body and blood of Christ are placed into your mouths, so surely are your names written in the Lamb's book of life. This is the promise that Jesus gives about his word, about his ministry, about the things that happen in the church. He who hears you hears me. But don't take my word for it. Take Jesus' word. Amen. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.